So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
Thank you for joining me today. The middle of my birthdayversary celebration, where every year for the last 20 years, I spend a multitude of days celebrating my birthday. Because I have not one, but two birthdays. And I did not discover this fact until almost exactly 20 years ago. I'm old. When one day in college, my roommate said to me, "Why'd your dad send you flowers again?" She was totally hating because my dad sends me flowers for everything because he's fucking awesome. But it was true. Why had my dad sent me birthday flowers on a day that was no longer my birthday? It's kind of weird. Then I started spiraling. Oh, shit, was he going crazy? He lives on the border in Eagle Pass. Was he drinking the water? Like, were the worms eating his brain? So after I spiraled for a few more days, I realized I'm just going to have to break down and call him. Dad's also the nice parent, so you can ask him the big life questions, but his answer always is and was this time. Call your mom. Shit. Mom is the disciplinarian, the scary parent. Many of you have this parent in your life, but mine is extra scary because I grew up on the border, raised Catholic by a strong Latina woman. You do not question this woman about anything. So here I am again, freaking the fuck out as to what the hell is going on with my dad and why am I getting flowers and is somebody dying and they didn't tell me. It was worse. So when I finally called her and asked her what the deal was with Dad, they're divorced, so she really didn't know, and she was getting my side of the story. Why did I feel like Dad didn't know when my birthday was? Well, I guess we should tell you. It's never a good way to start a story when you're telling your kids something, right? So here's the story. In early 1976, that's how old I am, don't tell anyone, I will kill you, my parents discovered that they were expecting me. They lived in Eagle Pass, Texas, a small town on the border, painfully small, and at the time there was no maternity clinic in Eagle Pass. So you could take your chances with a family doctor who had been there since the dawn of mankind, or just show up in labor and hope to God they didn't just cut you open. Or you could join the maternity clinic across the border in Mexico, where for $75, you could receive prenatal care and birth your child. Well, that totally seemed like the better option to both of my parents. 75 bucks, the peso devalued, so they got a deal. So when my mom went into labor, it took 15 minutes door-to-door to leave their house, drive across the border, park their brand new Mazda in the parking lot of the hospital, wheel on in and go on up to the birthing suite where my dad was whisked away to the waiting room to wait. My mom, from what she could remember, was gassed. Twilight sleep was the big rage in the 70s and sometimes is in certain parts of the undeveloped country. Yes, this country is still undeveloped when it comes to maternity care. And I was likely assisted in my birth by forceps, which, if you know me, probably explains a lot. So, my mom did not meet me for another 6 hours. And she only met me for 10 minutes and was like, huh, wheeled me away. She didn't see me again till the next day. But in this time, she did make some calculations. She's a smart lady. Don't ever tell her that either. What my mom had calculated was my birth date was on an inauspicious day as it came to the school board and the education system of Texas. You know what I'm talking about. So the next day when they bundled me up all excited and happy and got down to their car, and my dad realized that his car battery had been stolen, my mother continued to plot how she would change my fate. Once they got the car battery replaced, which was another $35, so now it was getting pretty expensive to both of my parents, they got in their car, no car seat required, drove back over the border, got to the immigration checkpoint where nobody asked to see papers. And chances were they knew the Border Patrol agent because they went to high school with them. Hey, you got a baby. Great. Congratulations. See you later. A few days later, my parents went back to immigration to file my naturalization paperwork. Lots of paper, hence the plural. My parents were born in the States, which made me automatically a U.S. citizen, because who in their right mind leaves this country to have a child in Mexico? My parents did. So they show up with a giant stack of paperwork, birth certificates, proof of residency, marriage certificates, all of which had been typewritten. Now, for you kids who aren't hipsters or are under 30, a typewriter is this magical device that you may or may not plug in and type like your keyboard with all of your fingers and not your thumbs, anything you would like to say, like an old-fashioned word processor. Look it up on Wikipedia. Some of these devices had correction tape. If you didn't have correction tape, you could chance it with an eraser or liquid paper or whiteout. So the trusty immigration officer paid no mind as she went through the countless pieces of typewritten paperwork, each of them indicating who lived where, who was born to whom, where you were from, how much had you paid on your last electricity bill, rubber stamped another piece of paper, typed up yet another document, handed everything back, and said, congratulations, she is now a U.S. citizen. What, upon closer scrutiny, someone would discover, if they cared to look, was that next to a specific date on my birth certificate was a tiny sliver of whiteout. So while legally my birthday is September 1st, 1976, technically speaking, me and my amniotic fluid came to this side of the world on September 10th, 1976. My mom did not want a chance that I would be left behind for 1 year by 9 days. She worried that I would be behind academically and socially. What the fuck? Everyone in my family had held on to this secret for 20 years. My grandparents knew. My aunts knew. Everybody knew the secret about my birthday except for me, and I thought I was the one going crazy. So I couldn't really hold it against my mom for too long. I was pretty pissed. I can't remember for how long, but I had to get over it because it was my senior year of college. I had to write a dissertation, which has nothing to do with my current career. What a great use of a student loan. And I had to begin adulting. So thinking back to it now, I recognize why my mother did what she did and why my father didn't bat an eye about it. As a parent now, 20 years later, I recognize the desire to give our children the best possible opportunities in their lives, give them the chance to make their own mistakes, to find their way, and to teach them how to use liquid paper.